Welcome to part 4 of TNC's Summer Wisdom Series, and today we'll be looking at the wisdom of gardening, which, if you know me, is kind of hilarious for me to be talking about gardening. My entire family is gifted with green thumbs, and that gift skipped right over me. We joke that my house is where plants come to die, which doesn't stop my mother from trying, no matter how much I tell her to stop bringing me plants. She just won't give up on her dream of making me into a gardener like the rest of the family. She just keeps planting that metaphorical seed in the hopes that someday it will bear fruit. And that's what a lot of life is about. Every single day, we say and do things that are like seeds being planted. The question is, will our words and actions bear good fruit or bad fruit? Proverbs 11:30 says, "The seeds of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends." Other translations say, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." And the wisdom of this proverb is that we reap what we sow. A few years ago, I tried my hand at planting a vegetable garden. Given my track record for successful gardening, this was definitely wishful thinking. And yes, it was influenced by my mother. So anyway, I had these cute little square plots in my backyard, and I planted all kinds of herbs and vegetables in them. And I had some success at first. I could see my little crops coming to life, and I was so proud. But pretty quickly, the rabbits and squirrels got a hold of my garden and ate everything before I could harvest it. That was the beginning and end of my gardening career. Now, my husband's parents, on the other hand, they are gardening experts, and my father-in-law has a special passion for his vegetable garden. David and I have eaten tomatoes, squash, and zucchini from their garden nearly every day this summer, and this stuff tastes way better than what you get at the store, I'm telling you. The difference between their garden and mine is that I merely planted the seeds. I watered everything, sure, but I didn't put much thought into it beyond that. But they have learned from years of experience and from trial and error exactly how to tend to their garden. From knowing the exact right time to plant, to choosing the exact right kinds of seeds, to preparing the soil and watering and fertilizing the exact right amount, they take tremendous care of their garden, and it, in turn, produces good fruit. And they reap the benefits of that, as do we and many of their neighbors and friends as well. Obviously, their care for their garden is in another league than my one singular, pitiful attempt. But here's the point I'm trying to make. They weren't just lucky. They worked at it, because it's not enough to plant seeds and call it a day. Hopefully by now it's clear that I'm not really talking about gardening. What I'm saying is that our words, actions, and choices have consequences. This isn't like breaking news. We all know this. So then my question is, why do we live as if we don't know this? Why are we shocked when we wind up where we don't want to be, with bad fruit, when we didn't plant the right seeds along the way? If I plant tomato seeds, I'm going to get tomatoes. I cannot plant tomato seeds and expect to get a banana tree. So why do we plant seeds of bitterness and expect everything to come up roses? What if, just what if, we started looking at everything we say and do as an opportunity to plant seeds? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus uses this metaphor of good and bad fruit. He says that a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. It can't be any other way. And just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can also identify people by their actions. So, when people look at the fruit of your life, what do they see? I'm asking myself, when people look at the fruit of my life, what do they see? Do they see the fruit of the Spirit? Do they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Because actions that bear bad fruit are just the opposite of all of that. So, If good fruit is love, then bad fruit is hate. If good fruit is peace, then bad fruit is violence. If good fruit is self-control, then bad fruit is anger. You get the picture. Everything we sow, we will reap. In his commentary on Galatians, Eugene Peterson says, "The harvest is inevitable, but we must plant and water the seeds. And we must realize that decisions are seed. Attitudes are seed. Acts are seed. Prayers are seed. Thoughts are seed. And all of it will come to harvest." All of our words and actions will bear fruit, so we have got to know what we are planting. I think we all understand this. So let's get out of the world of theory and talk about something practical. I want us to think about the seeds you and I plant in two specific areas of our lives, our faith life and our love life. Let's do faith life first. If I never read and study my Bible, if I never pray except in times when I'm in desperate need over something that I need or someone else that I care about needs, if I don't practice generosity and service to others, if I never attend church or engage with any community where I can learn and grow in my faith, what kind of fruit should I expect to come to bear in my relationship with God? It's pretty similar in our romantic relationships as well. Prioritizing quality time with my husband and treating him with kindness and respect will lead to the good fruit of a healthier and happier relationship. And obviously, that's got to go both ways. And I admit this is much easier to accomplish with fresh soil. So, what if things aren't going so well in your relationship right now? What if your soil has turned to hard, dry dirt and the root system has become brittle? Every time your partner does something that gets on your nerves, which is all the time these days, you cannot help but make a snarky remark. Well, I probably don't need to tell you that the seeds of bitterness and resentment are being planted and watered. What do you expect you'll harvest? Good fruit or bad fruit? I know your story is more complicated than that. I don't mean to be dismissive or to oversimplify truly difficult situations. What I do mean to suggest is that I know for a fact it doesn't have to stay that way. It's not like, well, once a poor garden, always a poor garden. At least my mother certainly doesn't think so. Otherwise, she would have given up on gifting me plants long ago. Audrey Hepburn once said, "To plant a garden is to dream of tomorrow." I love this because it implies hope, a desire for a different outcome. And the absolutely stunningly beautiful truth is that we can choose a different tomorrow anytime we want. We can dig up the weeds and till up the earth and turn over the soil and start again. We can plant different seeds this time. I know this is true because my whole life is living proof of this. Yours is too, probably. You don't have to cultivate this new garden alone, because it just so happens that you and I have access to the most masterful gardener of all. From the Garden of Eden to our very own Gardens of Gethsemane, all the way until the Gardens of Paradise, our divine gardener is making us new all the time. And we have hope for tomorrow, as long as our branches remain in the vine. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches. He says to us, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And then in chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." If we want good fruit in our relationships with others and with God, and if we want to glorify God with our lives, we have to invest in not only planting the right seeds, but also to then continually and faithfully care for those seeds until harvest time, and all the while to remain in the vine of Jesus. I think we all probably know the right thing to do to bear good fruit in our lives. At least, we all know what we should do. We just don't do it. I'm certainly guilty of this way more than I'd like to admit. But if we want to make some changes in our lives, we have to plant some different seeds, starting today. And yeah, okay, maybe I don't have a green thumb, but I do know one thing. You don't plant for immediate results. We're halfway through summer, so the time to plant summer crops has passed. But now is the perfect time to plant for fall. What seeds will you plant today? Now to close, I'd like to pray Paul's prayer from Colossians chapter 1. God, I pray that the way we live will always honor and please you, and our lives will produce every kind of good fruit. And all the while, may we grow as we learn to know you better and better. Amen.